Although she is called by him, she answers his proposal by separating herself from the world so that she can become totally one with him. She is spirit-filled. Only by being filled with the Holy Ghost can she learn and grow and truly mature into that bride that he wants her to be, so that she might be ready and equally yoked with him. And the Spirit is the one who prepares her and adorns her. She is singing. She has a new song in her heart, and a song that she can only sing, and she only wants to sing to her bridegroom. It's only for him. She is single-minded. She has surrendered herself completely to him and to his will, forsaking her own. And her thoughts are continually on her soon coming bridegroom. She is submissive. She surrenders herself completely to him because she trusts him. She knows how much he loves her. So she puts her confidence, all of her faith, all of her trust in him. And finally, she is circumspect. And her new spiritual walk is not anywhere close to her old walk. And she is she's not careless about the way she walks. Her walk is precise. It is exact. It has a purpose. And she is confident that he will perform and finish the good work which he has begun in her. We all know of, although we probably never met Sister Mary Bodie, a little bit about her, and there's a lot, but just a little bit, is that she was led by the Holy Spirit to establish the Grace and Glory Bible College in 1910. And the purpose of the college was to train pastors for the ministry of the gospel of Jesus Christ according to the Apostle Paul. And Brother Hill was a student there, and then the Lord called him, brought him here to Denver to establish this church in 1938. And Sister Bodie, that one of the songs we just sang was written by her and Brother Copley. And she wrote many songs, and many of them were co-composed with Brother Copley, and which we have many of them here in the Grace and Glory hymnal. But she also wrote many wonderful articles which are readily available today. And I would be happy to give you the link to that website so you can read them for yourself. But this morning, the Lord has led me just to allow me for just a few minutes, if you will, to quote directly from one of her writings. And I'm not paraphrasing anything. I'm not changing any words. This is what she has to say. And the article that the Lord put on my heart was this. We have this tract in our track rack. I don't know who's read it or not, but if you haven't read it, I encourage you to read it. It's called The Preparation of the Bride. And it's about what we sang about. Behold, the bridegroom cometh. So if you'll bear with me for the next 10 minutes or so, I'll just read what she has to say in her tract. The day of the Lord is at hand, but there is a particular preparation at the same time to which we call attention with no uncertain sound, namely the preparation of the bride to meet the bridegroom. The former is called his preparation, but her preparation is just as necessary, for his manifestation awaits her presence with him. There is nothing today with which the Lord is more concerned than the preparation of the Lamb's wife. It is written of her, his wife hath made herself ready. I don't know when this was written, but she says, God's people are awakening to the fact of the intimacy of Christ's coming and its immediacy, but the readiness necessary to meet him with many is a minor consideration. She must be separated as he is from the world in every phase. She must be making ready her wedding garments, the materials of which, we are assured, will be altogether from heaven. Nothing of the elements of the world in that wedding dress. The one great purpose of the age, the Father sending the Holy Spirit in quest of a bride for his Son, is almost forgotten. She must grow up unto a perfect man, unto the measure and the stature of the fullness of Christ. This constitutes her readiness. The Lamb's wife is not going to be a babe or a child. What he wants and all he needs is the poor and contrite spirit, small enough to be taught and willing to be led. For the marriage of the Lamb shall come, as it is written, and there must be a bride who hath made herself ready. God himself has made provision for this readiness, but we must avail ourselves to his provision. With believers, all have the calling of the select highly graced company, the bride. The provision to meet the need of all is complete, but it is not appreciated nor wanted. The separation it affects is too entire. The persecution it entails is too severe. The prize of the high calling is not run after, hence will not be won. The race is too long, the boxing too strenuous for the weaklings of our day. In the Song of Solomon's 6th chapter, verse 9, there are daughters and virgins without number, but she is the only one who is chosen to share the throne. Hearken, O daughter, listen to my word, he says. I will tell thee how to measure up to the call of God if thou hast yearning in this direction. Incline thine ear. A hearing ear is the first necessity of this queenly company. She must have an ear tuned in harmony with heaven, an ear that can hear the faintest whisper of the infinite spirit. But hearing is not sufficient enough. The second condition follows. She must consider, that is, she must eat the word which she hears, think upon it, let it lodge in her heart, meditate upon it, ruminate, chew the cud, as it were, and get all the sweetness, strength, and power out of it. Forget also thine own people and thy father's house. She must put off her old Adam head and all the associations and relationships connected with the old creation. The spirit is substituted for the flesh, while the eternal things replace the temporal. Like Paul, this choice woman forgets those things which were behind. She presses forward. The king's spouse must reach the standard which has been enjoined. Only with such can he mate. They alone are able to enter into fellowship and enjoy his love. Because she has met all the conditions, fulfilled all the requirements of his loving, tender admonitions, is the reason that he will desire her. It will be this very inward perfection which has been worked in her, which will cause his love to burn toward her and make him yearn to possess her for himself. She owns his lordship alone, worships, obeys, and yields to him. He is everything to her. She shall be brought unto the king in raiment of needlework. These fine linen garments are in the process of being made today. They are the result of heeding the above counsel of the Spirit. She must be a partaker of his nature, the Lamb nature. The bride will most certainly consist of those who have let God have his way with them to the uttermost. Not so much in doing great things, we believe by standing still and letting him work. We do cling to our own self-righteousness. It's the last thing that we let go. But God will have none of it, and neither will the Lamb's wife. She will take Christ only and always for her preparation, and stand in his spotless righteousness without fault in the unsullied light of the throne of God. Her boast is grace alone. With deep, exultant joy, she confesses that she owes everything to Christ. He is all she needs. She separates She appreciates his love and awaits his appearing. She expects to win Christ. But who constitutes the bride? Eve was built of a rib taken from the side of Adam. She became his wife. She is a type of the bride of Christ who is being taken out of his body, the church, divinely chosen and divinely built. But what particular saints constitute his bride? Our answer is recorded in Romans 7:1-6. Verse 4 says, "Wherefore, my brethren, ye also are become dead to the law by the body of Christ, that ye should be married to another, even to him who is raised from the dead, that we should bring forth fruit unto God." I've run out of time, and I don't want to intrude upon Ty's study this morning, but perhaps we'll finish this next Sunday. But if you haven't, please get this and read it and digest it, chew on it. It's marvelous writing, and it's truth. It's Holy Spirit truth. And the Lord, like I said, it just put it on my heart to share a little bit of this booklet with you this morning. I hope it's been a blessing, and may he come today.